it's like every kid has a different, just different qualities to like how their mind works. And, but there is this through line as parents of like, you know, we're all sort of detectives and what works and what doesn't. And okay, how do I take that clue and apply that to my life? And I will say what you just said, like, there are some kids with ADHD for whom an unstructured vacation is great. They're like, cool, I can just sort of let my mind like just be free. And there are some kids with ADHD who are the opposite. So it's a kind of, it's sort of like you got to figure out what works for your specific child or children.
Hi there. We are the Childhood Collective, and we have helped thousands of overwhelmed parents find joy and confidence in raising their child with ADHD. I'm Katie, a speech-language pathologist.
And I'm Lori.
And I'm Mallory, and we're both child psychologists.
As busy mamas ourselves, we are on a mission to support ADHD parents on this beautiful and chaotic parenting journey.
If you are looking for honest ADHD parenting stories, a dose of empathy with a side of humor, and practical tools, you are in the right place. Let's help your family shine with ADHD.
Today, Lori and I are thrilled to be chatting with Jessica Shaw, the host of Everybody Gets a Juice Box, Understood.org's newest podcast for parents of neurodivergent kids.
Jessica is an award-winning journalist and the proud mom of two teens who think differently. And today we're going to be chatting about something that comes up all the time, traveling with ADHD kids and teens. Jessica, it's so nice to have you here.
Thank you for having me. It's so nice to see you both.
Yes, thank you. I feel like travel is one of those things that we all want to just feel so magical as families. We plan this trip and we have a vision of what it's going to look like. We call it the future picture in the ADHD world. And then sometimes the reality is just so different, especially when you have ADHD in the mix. So I know you have a lot of experience with this. And when you think about traveling as an ADHD family, what about that kind of maybe feels different or unique for families with ADHD?
Well, I mean, everything.
Okay.
First of all, because I don't know. I feel like when I first had kids, and my girls are older at this point, but I was like, family vacations, that's going to be relaxing. It's going to just be like fun. It'll be like, you know, like when I was in my 20s and I would just go away with my friends and we'll just lie on a beach and like read. Yes. And it's no, that is 100% not the case. I mean, with neurotypical or with neurodivergent kids. Mm-hmm. But I do feel like with if a kid thinks differently, then they act differently in different situations and there are different stimuli that they are processing in a way that maybe a neurotypical kid might not, or maybe a neurotypical parent might not. Mm-hmm. And it just becomes a little, you know, for me, and I think for a lot of parents I talk to, it's a little bit of like, oh, okay, so let that preconception of what you thought a vacation was going to be, and you might need to do a little fine tuning so it's something that speaks to your child that isn't a nightmare for you because of course you're on vacation as well. And yeah, I mean, it's not nothing, but nor does it like, oh my God, your vacation future is ruined.
Right. I love that. Yes. We can all go on vacation, even if we have all different kinds of brains and things like that. And I know you said your girls are a little bit older now, but can you maybe just walk us through a little memory or a time when that showed up for you? Maybe when you realized like, oh, okay, we might have to do this a little bit differently.
So yes, my kids have very different approaches to what they like, but something that I noticed very much was the need for structure. Mm-hmm. For me personally, I'm the kind of vacationer who wants no structure whatsoever. Yes. I want to like have a place to stay. And even, I mean, I will like sometimes book a hotel on the flight going to the place. Like
I love this.
Wow. You know, and and then I have a kid who's like, no, I need to know what we're doing from 7 to 8, 8 to 9, 9 to 10, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think there were a few vacations early on that were more, you know, I mean, I think as parents, sometimes it's like our kids, you know, we're going to sort of open up the world to our kids in the way that we, you know, thought that we would or whatever. And I think early on I was like, let's just do that kind of dream. You know, we'll just walk around a city. We'll see what happens, see where the world takes us. And quickly realized that that does not fly. You know, I think different kids with ADHD or different whatever it is, different ways that kids with different thinking differences and everything, it could be different for all of them. And there could be all sorts of things that are needed. For me personally, it was, and in my family, we need to have things to do. We need to have activities to do and things planned and not a lot of loosey-goosey, you know, blurry lines. The lines need to be clear. And so, yeah, so for what that ended up being, and I say this with a full acknowledgement of, you know, the privilege, first of all, that I can go on vacation and, you know, pay for a vacation. Yeah. But for my family, that meant really leaning into all-inclusive because it was something that there was always something to do. There wasn't downtime. There wasn't, what do we do now? There weren't question marks floating above anyone's heads. So
I feel like you've just sold me on an all-inclusive. Like,
Lori's like, where do we go?
It's funny, my husband and I were like talking about that because it feels like I might actually get a vacation that way, you know? Like, but I think that's so relatable for so many families that have been through some version of that experience on their vacation. Why do you think moments like that hit so hard for kids with ADHD? Just like, there's no structure, there's nothing to do, and then it's just a challenge.
Yeah, I mean, I think part of it also is that you have kids in school, and it's working, and it's like, and we as parents partner with the teachers and the schools and everything to make sure that a kid is in a situation where things work, and where, you know, and that sort of calms the brain. It just sort of, it makes everything okay. If you know what to anticipate, you know how to, you know, make it function in whatever context it is, at school, after school, whatever it is. And then all of a sudden, when you're on vacation, it's like all bets are off. And that can be a shock to the brain.
And I think a lot of kids just have a lot. I mean, I have a daughter that has anxiety, but just like so much anxiety about the unpredictability of that. And it seems like a lot of kids with ADHD don't want that routine, but they just thrive in some form of routine and predictability. So being able to bring that on vacation a lot of times helps.
Yeah. I mean, I will also say there are some, you know, I feel I talk to parents all the time and everyone gets a juice box and we all like, and every, it's like every kid has a different, just different qualities to like how their mind works. And but there is this through line as parents of like, you know, we're all sort of detectives and what works and what doesn't. And okay, how do I take that clue and apply that to my life? And I will say what you just said, like there are some kids with ADHD for whom an unstructured vacation is great. They're like, cool, don't need to like, focus on this, you know, I can just sort of let my mind like just be free. And there are some kids with ADHD who are the opposite. So it's a kind of it's sort of like you got to figure out what works for your specific child or children.
Yeah, I think that is the trickiest part is when you have more than one kid, right? And you have your own, the parents have their own needs. I was laughing when you said you might book a hotel on a flight, or I guess prior to having a family, you would do that. And that's totally my husband. Like he loves, you know, let's just rent a convertible and let's just drive. Let's just figure it out. We don't know where we're going to stop. You know, and my parents still tell a story. So we're in Arizona, but my dad worked for the government for a long time. So I spent a lot of time in Washington, D.C. and Chicago, some of the big cities when I was a kid. And they still tell the story. I was probably 8 or 9, and they were telling us about our summer trip. They're like, we're flying into Chicago. This is 3 or 4 months in the future, right? We're going to fly to Chicago. We're all going to get in. It'll probably be, you know, around dinner time. And then we're going to, you know, be there for 5 days or whatever. And I interrupted my parents, and they tell the story. They're like, you were so serious. And I was like, well, if we get there, you know, at dinner time, where are we going to eat? And they were just, they laughed at me and they thought that was so funny. And it's still like family lore, right, to this day. But I am the kid who's like, but in 3.5 months when we land at 6 p.m., where are we going to eat? Like, what's going to happen? And it really helps me to feel like I kind of know what's happening. I can make a plan, maybe a contingent plan. But in my family, of course, I have myself and my husband who are such opposites. And then we have two kids who are totally opposite. And it's my son who would want to plan out the meals and the structure and all the activities. And then my daughter is much more just good with open time. And I think that's a real challenge we need to acknowledge, especially for families who have 2, 3, 4 kids. I mean, yep. There's so many needs. And I'm just kind of wanting to brainstorm for a minute. I know you mentioned all inclusives, and for people who are like, that sounds amazing. And I actually do think in some ways all inclusives are maybe more affordable or at least easier to budget because you know what you're spending. Let's say people are going like on a camping trip or something like that. How can we build some of that structure in? Like, what could that look like for families who maybe can't do an all-inclusive?
Well, first of all, I want to hear what your family does with two parents who who have different approaches and two kids who have different approaches.
Well, we do it very well, obviously. Let me tell you. No, I'm just kidding.
Everything's totally perfect, right?
Yeah, but Katie, I think that's a good question because Katie's family does do a lot of like road trips and like traveling the U.S. And you do a lot of vacations that are affordable and just involve hopping in a car and not flying, right?
That's so the dad of the family.
Insight. Yeah.
Yeah. I think for us, it ends up being kind of a balance of, like you mentioned, the balance is so important. And we'll choose, you know, a few key anchor items. So in our family, our kids are pretty early risers. I would say by nature, like we're not necessarily early risers, but they are up, you know, even on vacation, especially on vacation by 6:30. And so we've sort of built our, and they're younger, they're 9 and 12. So I do think the teen years are going to bring a whole new adventure. But we basically on vacation will usually wake up pretty early, get everyone fed. I'm a coffee girl, so I need some coffee. And then we pretty much start a structured activity pretty quickly. So it's like we're in Boston and we want to go on the duck pond. You know, let's go over there and get that going. Or we're going to go check out this museum or this aquarium. And we generally, a hike, whatever it is, we do better in the morning. And then after lunch, it's usually a little more free. And that's, we love being outside. So if we're near the water, we'll just go to the beach, or we love to hike, we love to explore. And I think both of my kids do pretty well with that, which we're lucky. I know there's kids that would be like, what? We're going on this trail for 2 hours. But we will kind of make up different games. My husband's really good at being like, everyone needs to find a walking stick, or let's see if we can find two rocks that match, or some kind of a task that they're kind of busy with. And so for us, that has been a big one. Honestly, for travel, we don't do a lot of dinners out. That's just our preference. And again, everyone's going to be so unique, but we tend to eat like at our Airbnb or even a picnic out in the park. By that point, I think Lori uses the analogy of spoons. I think by that point in the day, we've used our spoons, and sitting in a structured restaurant, you know, for 2 hours or something, we would love that, but it's just not a good fit. So those are some of the things for us. It's like anchoring structure and unstructured. And yeah, I don't know. We don't have a perfect formula, but it tends to work.
Yeah. I mean, when you were talking, I was like thinking about moments like that and thinking about, I think if a good option, whether you're at like on a cruise, which is like basically an all-inclusive at sea, you know, or a resort or like whatever, or camping or whatever it is, I feel like maybe setting the stage of what it's going to be. So
yes,
like the night before, like, hey, here's how I see tomorrow going. Mm-hmm. We'll wake up when we wake up, and at 10 o'clock, we're going to do X, mm-hmm. you know, until before 10, we'll eat breakfast, whatever. 10 o'clock, we're going to do X. And then by noon, we're going to do this. And, mm-hmm. you know, and just really making a schedule, even if the schedule is free time and,
yes.
you know, roaming and mm-hmm. whatever. And that way, if there's something that doesn't appeal to a kid and it might feel like it's going to dysregulate them, they know that by the 1 p.m. or 2 p.m. activity, whatever it's going to be, mm-hmm. they can sort of like grasp onto that.
Yeah. And I do think priming our kids is such an important piece of it. Like, we prep our kids so much to say, this is the general plan and we don't know. It's a mystery. It's an adventure. And I think reframing it like that, like even with getting a rental car, I have one kid that's like, what car are we getting? What color will it be? And I'm like, we are lucky to get a car because the rental car thing is crazy right now. But it's just one of those, like, I have to say, oh, it's a mystery. We'll have to figure that out. What do you think? Let's make a guess. But when we prime our kids and they know, like, we don't have a perfect plan, we're adventurers, we're flexible, it becomes kind of part of the identity. And like Lori said, that is part of my family identity. Like, my kids would say, we're map people or we're travelers, because they kind of have that as part of who they are. And that's a huge shift, I think, from, oh, I don't know. Gosh, that is so stressful. I don't have to figure it out, but it's going to be tough. Like, that's a really different frame for the kids to come from too. So
we've talked a lot about some of the challenging parts of traveling with a child with ADHD, which are very real for people. But ADHD can also bring a totally different lens to experiences. Mm-hmm. Have there been moments in travel where your child's ADHD actually made things better, or you felt like, wow, this really was more meaningful as a result of this?
You know, I was just thinking about it. I was in Paris with one of my kids. We went on just like a mother-child trip, just the two of us. Uh-huh. And I thought, is she going to be able to do museums? And I love art and I love going to museums, you know, whatever. And it turned into like, I mean, I have one kid who would not have stepped foot into a museum, period. So she was okay with like going in. But I could tell there was like, I don't know how long I'm going to do. And it ended up being, we were in this incredible museum where if I were alone, I might have been there for like 4 or 5 hours. Uh-huh. We were there for 45 minutes max. And let me tell you, it was one of the best museum visits ever, because it was like, you know what we're doing? We are looking at every piece of art that speaks to us and that is meaningful. And we're not sort of like lingering and seeing, that room didn't really work for us. Let's try this room. It was like, nope, we saw it. We freaking loved it. And now we're out.
Yeah. No, I love that. And it's like, did you have more of a fun experience as a result of kind of like going through a museum in a different way that you maybe would have done it before, right?
I did. Yeah. And I really kind of had to reflect on that a little bit because, you know, I think in general with parenting, sometimes you do something and it's like, or at least for me, I can speak for myself, there are times where I wrestle with like, oh, this is what I thought it was going to be. Mm-hmm. And then this is what it is. And there, you know, and in my mind, if I'm going into like one of the great museums of the world, it's like, okay, this is what I thought. I thought I was going to like find a new piece of art that I'd never seen or, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't what I thought it was going to be. And it was truly, as I look back on that trip, one of the absolute highlights. And to my child's credit, when she was ready to go, I was like, you sure you want to go? Like, should we just go to like that, like one or two more rooms? And she was like, no, I'm done. And in that moment, I was like, she's done. Fine. Mm-hmm. Wonderful. And because she was kind of able to sort of set the limit and say, this is what I can do right now. And I was able to say, cool. And just completely honor that and listen to that. It was an amazing experience. Not an amazing experience, which means she'll do it longer next time. Not an amazing experience of like she's going to go into art now or whatever. Just an amazing experience, full stop. And there's something very special about that.
Yeah, and it is hard. It's so hard to be that flexible like with a vacation. Yes. And sometimes it's like, we spent all this money on X, Y, or Z. And so you feel like we have to like get the most out of it, or we have to do this. And then it ends up being kind of a fight or an unpleasant experience. And it is, I think that's a great point that sometimes we do have to kind of listen to our kids. And again, sometimes that's hard when you have multiple kids wanting to do multiple different things, right? And you're not always able to be that flexible. But I do love that, because I think sometimes we can get stuck in, our plan as a parent, like we had this in mind of like, we're going to be here for 5 hours. And when it doesn't go that way, it can be hard for us to like accept that.
Yeah. I mean, there are two other thoughts that I was thinking. And number one is, if you are a family with two adults and multiple kids, there's nothing wrong with, at least in my opinion, we have leaned into at times sort of splintering the family for the day and coming back together, because your kids may have very different needs and different interests and different things that they're capable of doing or want to be doing. And I feel like sometimes as parents, we put so much pressure on ourselves to have the like family vacation, capital F, capital V, that, you know, and it feels like a failure if you're just like, okay, I'm going off with this one, you go off with this one, but it's not. That's making things work for your family. And the other thing that I was thinking as far as like listening to your kids is, and I know other families who have done this and it's been very effective, giving the kid the empowering the kid to make the a choice about what you're doing on a specific day. Now, if your kid's three, like obviously that's not going to work. But if your kid's a little bit older, like maybe it's saying like, okay, here are like three options, but you get to decide. You get to plan this day. And the other, you know, if you have another kid and you get to plan this day. And just, you know, maybe it involves giving them some choices or creating some parameters around it. But if they feel invested in the outcome of the day or the trip, that's also important.
Yes. Yeah, you're definitely speaking to me with both of these, because I, like I mentioned, I have two kids and I am very much in the mindset of the capital F, capital V family vacation. Like the four of us will do everything together. And my husband is much more flexible. I'm sure you could figure that out from the fact that he'll take his convertible when he rented. But it's like, it really is. So he's totally right. Like, hey, why don't you know, this kid needs a lot more activity. I need a lot more like walking and working out throughout the day. So I'm going to take this one and go do this thing. And then the two that kind of want to rest are going to chill on the beach for a little bit. And I think that it's not only, you know, yes, you're kind of reducing conflict or meeting people's needs, but it can lead to a lot of really good conversations with that one kid. And we don't get a ton of one-on-one time, at least I don't with my kids. And so it's almost like, not even looking at it as like a second choice, but maybe that's a first choice to spend a little time, you know, on like a mini mother-son date or something. And again, reframing it to be like this fun adventure. And that can be such a different way to look at it. I think you're definitely onto something. And you kind of have touched on this, but when I'm thinking about parents who go in, like we said at the very beginning, with high expectations and we're going to have, you know, the perfect trip. And how would you say parents could kind of redefine that? Like, what is a successful family trip, a successful vacation? What would you tell a parent who is getting ready to travel this summer and, you know, just has that pressure?
I mean, a successful trip is like coming home and like still talking to your family. Like, you know, that's just, I feel like the bar should just be a little bit, you know, like not lower of just like, because it should be like, for our families, it should be lower, just more like put less pressure on yourself that, you know, that this is going to be this like life altering trip and experience. It's okay. It's okay sometimes to go away together. And I'm talking like if you go away for a day together or a week or 2 weeks or whatever it is, just to kind of say, okay, did everyone feel like one thing in their soul was met, you know, was able to thrive? Did everyone get like one thing that made them happy? And I feel like that's a success.
Yeah. And one last thing I don't think people talk about enough is what happens kind of after the trip is over with and everyone gets back home. And are there any strategies that you found that are effective for parents who kind of dread the end of the trip and then the transition that they have to make back to kind of real life again?
It's so funny you say that, because sometimes I felt like I've had times as a parent where I've dreaded the end of the trip, and sometimes as a parent where I'm like, let's move this along. Like, I'm ready to check in at that airport, TGIM. Thank God it's Monday. Like, let's go back to school.
Yeah.
But it, you know, I think in general, that's sort of why I do feel like everyone has to have something. That, and if you feel like you're just like constantly meeting your kids' needs and not doing anything for yourself, like, that's not great either. Even if it means just saying, okay, I'm gonna go have my coffee by myself, I'm gonna go for a walk in on the beach or in the city where you are, or even just like sit in the lobby or sit, you know, just do something for yourself as a parent also. So it's not like you're doing this trip solely for others. But as far as the kids kind of, you know, figuring out how to transition, I always felt like it's a good idea to kind of remind them, like, what was your best thing about this trip? Tell me your top three. Give me your like gold, silver, bronze of this trip. And let them name it and acknowledge it, because that will also remind them of the good experience that they just had. And that even when, because yes, there are going to be difficult things about every family trip, go into it knowing that, but remind them that there were all of these highs as well.
Yeah, no, I love that. And one of the things, talking like very practically, I feel like I have learned with traveling is that I always give myself an entire day. Like, it's never we're going straight back to school or we're going straight back to work. Like, I need for myself like a whole day to like transition, do laundry. Otherwise, I feel like I end up feeling like I didn't even enjoy the vacation because I'm so like drained going back into everything, which I know is like not a very fun thing. And sometimes it's hard to manage, but I feel like when I have done that, it just like, I feel less stressed at the end of the trip. I feel like I can enjoy it more.
Yeah. I love that. I think just expecting that it is going to maybe be challenging, right? Everyone might have slept differently, eaten all kinds of different foods. You know, you're just totally out of the routine and that can feel really good. But it can also be tricky getting back into the program. And I'm kind of curious, Jessica, it sounds like you've been on a lot of really amazing adventures. Does one particular trip come to mind? Like one, maybe a trip that went just really well, or your favorite place to travel as a family?
I was sort of like very loath to go on a cruise. Like, I just kind of like live in fear of like, just like diseases and like
what could happen, like Titanic
bathroom issue, like the whole boat gets like some stomach bug and it's like my living nightmare. So I was really anti that, and one of my kids really wanted to go on this cruise, so we found a very small boat, and it was amazing. It's called Uncruise. It's like the least cruisy cruise thing.
Oh wow.
And it was incredibly active, and all of us went, and it was it was structured in the sense that, you know, you have your morning or whatever. There's a morning activity, an active activity, like hiking, kayaking, whatever. Lunch, chill, and there's an afternoon activity. Again, active, hiking, kayaking, like whatever it is. And there was something about that structure, but the freedom within that structure to say like, oh, I feel like doing this. Oh, okay, I don't feel like doing that. I'm going to do the other thing. Mm-hmm. And there was enough downtime so that those of us who needed to just chill, you know, with a book were fine with doing that. And there was enough activity that those who needed like to be just tired out by the end of the day had their needs met. And also just, you know, Alaska's beautiful.
Yeah, it's funny that I feel like my daughter has been asking to go on a cruise for the last year because she's seen ads for them. And she's like, Mom, did you know that they have a roller coaster and a water slide? Like, she's telling me whatever was in the ad, right? But after that, I swear to you, like no less than 10 people have said like those were their favorite vacations. And I was talking with a family actually recently, and she has four girls, three with autism. And she was saying like, it's the only vacation I have is on a cruise with my family where I actually feel like I got a vacation because there's so many things for them to do. They all have different needs and different interests. And they're safe. Kind of, Yeah, yeah, and they're safe. So it's like, yeah, I've heard from many families, especially families raising kids with ADHD or autism, like they've really enjoyed those vacations as a family because they can kind of choose the things that they're interested in. And they, the parents actually get a little bit of downtime and not having to cook food and doing all the things that you have to do a lot of times on vacation. So
and if you have a kid I'm guessing the boat that your daughter's talking about is like one of those giant mega cruises.
I have no idea. I've never been on one, so I don't know. She's trying to sell us on it.
Right. Little travel agent in training.
Right.
But like those can also be very sensory overload for some kids. Mm-hmm. Not for all kids. Yep. For some, it might be very sensory calming for some kids to have all of those things going on. But there, you know, so it's kind of like knowing your kid is that kind of thing. All the lights, all the like, you know, thousands of people, like, you know, on this giant boat, is that going to be too much? Is that going to be just right? Is a boat like the one I went on with 40 or 50 people, is that going to be too little? Is that going to be enough sensory input, or is it going to be too much?
Yeah.
I love that. And so if any cruise lines want to sponsor us, you know, we're definitely it's actually really funny because we've never been on a cruise either. But when we watched the Super Bowl a few months ago, they were really hitting cruise ads where we were. Yeah. And so my kids too were like, Mom, did you know? And I was like, I guess I did know that, but that's not forefront of my mind at all. So you're convincing me, Jessica. I think that sounds, and I love the idea of not cooking, right? Because then I'm like sitting there going, oh, I have to wash these dishes, and it does not feel like a vacation. So I'm really digging that. That's great. And so your cruise was up to Alaska then, the one you were talking about?
Yeah.
Oh, that sounds
very
amazing.
Cool.
Yeah, I'll need to check
I'll be
that
looking
out for
into
sure.
that.
I know.
I'll Maybe give you all the intel. It's amazing.
Our next work trip is going to be a cruise to Alaska with all the kids.
Love that.
I think you need to do like an episode or two remotely, like at sea.
Absolutely. Yeah. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. We'll have to live stream from our kayak. Yeah,
obviously.
People would appreciate that.
Yes.
Absolutely, they would. Mm-hmm. Actually, my husband would like that too. So, I mean, gosh, he'll be excited. So this has been great. You are wonderful. And it's so fun to hear all of your wisdom and your stories. And I know that our listeners are definitely going to want to continue to learn more from you. So can you share a little bit about your new podcast with understood.org? Everyone gets a juice box.
Yes, everyone gets a juice box, and you can go to understood.org, and there are a whole bunch of podcasts and just incredible resources in general for all things. But my show is parents just sort of telling their stories to other parents. And it's just, you know how sometimes you just need to bond with a parent and without having to explain it and like, oh, let me explain why this has happened, this, and we're all in the same kayak together and we're just kind of like sharing our stories and sharing our experiences, not with solving it in mind, not with, you know, berating ourselves for might have done this differently, just talking and sometimes hearing that other people are going through something, an experience that sounds similar, has been really, really wonderful.
Oh, I love that. I just got chills. I think that's such a huge part of the ADHD parenting experience is sort of this sense of like, does anybody get this? You know? And so I just love that you're providing a platform where people can share and feel seen. And I know that, you know, it's just something that you're just starting out, but I think it's going to change a lot of lives for people to have that support. So thank you so much for sharing. And thank you for coming on today. It's been really great chatting with you.
You as well. Thank you. It was so much fun talking to you both. You guys are great. Yeah.
All right. Next
Thank
meeting
you so
is
much.
On a cruise.
Yes. At sea. Podcast at sea.
Right.
Thanks for listening to Shining with ADHD by your hosts, Lori, Katie, and Mallory of the Childhood Collective.
If you enjoyed this episode, please leave us a review and hit subscribe so you can be the first to know when a new episode airs.
If you are looking for links and resources mentioned in this episode, you can always find those in the show notes. See you next time.